Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Munga, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, my brother. And how is down there?
Well, Sauda is fine. I do hope that you're doing well in Lusaka.
We are doing well in Zambia, the real Africa.
Ah, fantastic. The real Africa, you say.
Yes, if you have never been here, brother Lot, then you are not an African.
Yeah. Well, I must try and make a turn there. I've not been there yet, but I'm definitely going to make it there. But I can tell you, I am an African.
Exactly.
Now, we're continuing with our subject, our identity in Christ. And as we continue speaking on our unique identity as the SDA Church, today we're going to be focusing on an issue that tends to be sensitive and controversial at times, especially in light of our focus yesterday, which was cultural diversity. And so today we focus on music. Now, one big factor or identifier of Adventism over the years has been the unique conservative musical sound. It has been a source of contention when attempts to introduce different genres of music, gospel music, have been met with resistance and maybe fear of diluting our culture as Adventists. Now, is there such a thing, Pastor, as Adventist music?
Yes, there is. I'll give an example. In 2006, I was invited for a workshop in Malawi.
Yeah.
We arrived there, we were taken to this hotel. Just as we are unpacking from the airport, we found out this hotel where we were, there was a music concert.
Mm.
And then this group was called to sing. I called a friend of mine, as those singers, I'm from Zambia myself, this is Malawi, those people who are singing the Adventists.
Mm.
And we went over there, we called these young men, say, which church you say we are Seventh-day Adventist.
Okay.
I may not define it with words that it is like this, but you are able to get that this one is music from the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's a contentious subject, but one can still know. If you are brought here in Zambia and people are brought here to sing, Brother Lotte, you will be able to know that these who are singing from their attire, from all those, whatever they call them, in music, you know that these lyrics, these are from SDA. Mm, mm,
mm. How do you identify? You say you can't really put a finger on it. I'm interested. How do you identify that? I'm really interested.
Yeah, because like you have said, Adventist music, you find that it teaches and reinforces spiritual truths. Just as someone is singing, like us preachers, you can even write a sermon from the song.
Mm.
It also encourages one another with biblical truth. And even when you talk about theological correctness, it also has got that aspect. And also music acts as a prayer. When someone is singing, that music uplifts you. In one word, I would say, or in a single sentence, I would say, it is God-centered. Being God-centered, saying, it is meant to glorify God, not the singer, but God himself.
No.
I like one young...
Yeah, please go
on. One young man was asked to define salt. And he said the salt is that which spoils food when it is not there.
Okay.
He had no better way of explaining it, but he says when it is not there, it spoils everything. So when that aspect of Adventism is not there, you will know that, no, this one is a strange fire.
Hmm. Interesting, though, that many of the songs that we have, especially, you know, in our hymnals, do not originate with the Seventh-day Adventists. So why are we brave to say this is Adventist music, then?
What you're saying is true, but when you look at the original songs, you'll find that there's a lot of editing that has been done so that it can suit our teachings. I don't know, I'm trying to avoid the word our theology, but our teachings or our beliefs, it has to align with our beliefs. And as we go later on, I'll quote one I'll get one quotation from Ellen White on the music as she saw it in the last days. Its nature and its direction and how we still have to promote our music, that conservative one, the old-time religion.
Quite interesting. Now, is there a danger, Pastor, in allowing an evolution of what we consider to be Adventist music as you defined? Or should we just stick to our founders, to what our founders used to sing, even if the congregation does no longer respond to it?
In the first place, we have to understand what the purpose of music is in in worship.
All right.
All music the Christian listens to, performs or composes, whether sacred or secular, has what an ultimate goal of glorifying God. Like we read in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 there. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. At times the temptation is there, no, we call this person to sing for us. No, you don't sing for a human being. You sing to glorify God.
Yeah.
And the others are also listening. But at times it's like music is entertainment to excite the people. No, the music is there to glorify God because of who he is, because of his nature. When you look at the worship that is in heaven, those angels bowing down, like that account in Isaiah chapter 6, the angels cover themselves, their faces, with their wings, cover their feet, saying, holy, holy, holy. You can see that that is the act of music. That is the act of worship. That is supposed to inform our worship here. I was just reading this one in Acts 16, verse 25 and 26. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. So music is for glorifying God. Music is for exalting God, who he is, what he has done, his greatness, his love. And then the listener, someone who is not singing, you are also listening to others who are uplifting God. So in spirit, you join those people. So the music that we sing is not for entertaining the people there, but it's for glorifying God. As we glorify God, when you and I are singing, others are also shift their focus. In other words, music is to shift your focus to God, but not music to shift, to be centered on me, the singer, to say, let them sing for us. No, they sing to glorify God. And the other worshipers join also to glorify God.
Yeah, quite interesting. Now, you know, interesting that you're saying that it is to glorify God. And I'm looking at, you know, I'm recalling on the history of Christian music and how many of these songs were actually penned in terms of some of the melodies and rhythms were literally taken from you know, some you know, local songs that you would find sung in you know, communities, whether they were struggling for this, that, or the other. They're just normal, regular melodies, just put in some religious lyrics there. So does it apply even in that background?
In the first place, that may be true. Like we have said that most of the songs actually that we sing are not composed by Seventh-day Adventists per se, but these songs have been adopted because what this song, the message in this song is saying something that glorifies God. If there is something that is amiss, it is corrected. So the same with our local song. Music has played a part in every community and every society. If there is a song in Xhosa, there is a song in Zulu, it's a local song. But when you get at what it says, it suits the purpose for which you have, for the purpose for music, then that song can be adopted. Like we have choruses that people can compose. But when you hear the chorus, this chorus praises God. This chorus glorifies God. Or you can shape it in a way that it's in an acceptable way. or in a way that meets your purpose. I don't see anything wrong with that.
You know, there are times when the music, you know, we're Africans, Pastor. And as Africans, we are very emotive to music. I've looked at other nations. I've looked at Europeans and South Americans, etc. But Africans in particular respond to music, to rhythm, because music goes and evokes some very serious, you know, emotions. And at times, those emotions are of excitement. Sometimes a person is happy. They look entertained. And there may be a thin line there between, allowing the music to be a tool for worship or being just pure entertainment. Please give us, how do we navigate this area? Because, I mean, in the first place, we are Africans, and so, yes, we're Africans, and the music is to God. While it is to God, it also ministers to us, and we respond accordingly. How do we then navigate? And because some would say, no, you need to remain emotionless and stand still and just do the music. But how do we do it? Please.
And I know you are friends down there. You are more affected. We know that the music down in south there in your place, we watch it and we see the revolution in it. So we sincerely understand. In the first place, like you have rightly said, even when we mentioned yesterday, you can't separate music from our culture, from the way we respond. Like the African culture, at the beginning of maybe harvest season, there are some songs that are sung. If there's a funeral, there is a song, like in our place, the drums are beaten and we get our spears and we are moving to and fro. So then when you come to church, you have to pay attention, your hands down. So even our music cannot be separated from our culture.
Yeah.
It cannot be separated from our culture. One of the challenges that I can mention is that we have got, like, for example, the SDA hymnal. These songs that were composed and then they are put together. The question that I may pose to you, all those songs, you find that even when you're in South Africa, there are songs that are peculiar just for this choir, composed by someone from that choir. You go to another church in Cape Town, they have their song, this and that. But if we were to put these songs together, and even that, what are those notes together? It can be easy to say, okay, this one responds to who we are. Because as a matter of fact, we are African. I'm an African.
True. Very true.
And there's a way we respond. And we cannot suppress our feelings. When the first time we worshipped in Germany, you would think that this is not an SDA church. No one says amen. Everyone is just quiet. If someone is preaching, if a song is sung, everyone is quiet. No one says anything. And you are grim. This is not the way we respond here.
As Africans, but, I mean, it's depressing. What you've described there is just very, very depressing.
As we have to put the emotions there, when someone is preaching, I've seen some congregation, maybe some people are even standing to say something. And even when you are singing, I see that that revolutionary spirit that is there, that you cannot disassociate, for sure. But in most cases, if not all cases, we don't have what we have compiled, documented. You have got those experts in music. They put the notes to read and put together. You find it's not there. So even when we talk about our own, so you find our own in South Africa, you have got your own, Botswana is something different, Zambia, Tanzania, Kenya, and that kind of thing. But for sure, our preaching, our singing, our everything goes with the emotions and intense emotions. You cannot separate them. They were given to us by God.
So those then who would want to police the emotions, What do, because now they would want Africans to behave the way Germans would, for instance. I mean, with complete silence, and this is a nice song, it's emotive, but we have to just keep quiet. And I don't know. How do we address those brethren who say this is unholy in God's church?
No, it's like morals, emotions. You cannot regulate them. Like regulating, you can regulate behavior, but you cannot regulate a character.
True.
Because that is emotions. I'm born with them. God gave me these emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I respond in a different, because worship actually is response. You are responding to God's presence.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a high ranking person coming to you, I will kneel down. That is response. A military person will salute. That is response. Others will clap. That is response.
Mm.
So how we respond to the presence of God is different, and it should be accepted in that way. The key word should be to accept.
Uh-huh.
Those, the way they worship in the West, we should accept it. They should also accept the way we respond here in Africa.
Beautiful.
It should not break someone's bones in the way I respond. It's like going to a funeral and we beat our drums. There's no standard that is written anywhere. That this is the way you mourn. There's no standard. But the issue is to respond. As I respond, I also need to be mindful that I am a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, you remind me of a scripture that says, and David danced before the Lord. This was, as a result of a celebration of the return of the Ark. And as they were approaching the city, and he started dancing before the Lord. Of course, much to the irritation of his wife. And I think perhaps the wife was European.
Pardon?
I'm saying perhaps his wife was European because she was not pleased with David dancing before the Lord.
Yes, and she was cursed for that for that remark that she gave.
Well, Pastor, it has been a fantastic conversation with you this afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be doing this one more time tomorrow, but for today, we want to thank you so much for coming through.
You're most welcome. God bless you and God bless our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.